everybody. Welcome back to The Instance, episode 362. This is The Instance Podcast. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined by Dills over there. Dills, how's it going?
Hi. Hello.
Good to have you here.
362. We're almost to 340. A full calendar year.
Yeah. Ooh, good point. Probably should celebrate that or something.
Yeah.
Or should we?
Sure.
I don't know.
And then it'll be a leap year the next episode.
That stuff takes work. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't want to work.
Big time episode 365. I don't know.
Also with us, the fine, the venerable, the lovely, the talented Terpster. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, man.
It's me.
You're back.
I'm here. Called him venerable.
Well, last time
I'm really tired, Scott.
Last time we talked to you, you were on your way to San Francisco for GDC, and now you're back, and you're literally home like an hour, you said.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Thanks. No, I'm feeling great. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for doing this.
Did you sleep on the plane? Like, how do you battle the impending jet lag?
I had about 2.5 hours sleep on the plane. I was very proud of myself.
Out of how many flight hours?
Yeah, how many hours?
Like, I think 10.5 or something like that.
That's not so bad. Yeah. That's hard. It's hard to sleep next to Lewis. He's a loud mouth.
It's very hard to sleep on a plane, full stop.
Yeah.
They're hard things to sleep on.
Mm.
And you know, there you go.
Inside of it next time because it's a little easier.
Then on a plane? Is that what you're saying?
On top. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, on the wing, like some kind of crazed movie scene.
Trying to scare William Shatner.
Yeah, Shatner is who I was thinking of. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, and
later it was the other guy.
Third Rock in the Sun. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
John
Lithgow. Yeah. Thank you.
Lithgow.
Yeah, very nice.
Anyway, well, that was already. I was just like just blown away by how with it I am after such a long time. But no, it's great. I was over in San Francisco for GDC, and
why don't you fill us in a little? What'd you think about that?
You guys do know Global Deals Conference, right?
Yeah, the Global Deals Conference is held every year, and game developers from around the world gather in San Francisco to meet with deals, or just talk about deals as well. Like, sometimes deals not even there, just chatting about it.
Talk about
most of the time I'm not there, actually. In fact, this year I made zero appearances.
There was a couple of rumblings about how they would have liked to have had more deals there, but this year they try to focus on, you know, talking about how to make more games that deals would like.
Yeah, sure.
So it was good. The panels and talks and stuff were interesting of the ones I saw, but at the same time, they really weren't kind of pitched for me. Like there was one, I went and watched the Kerbal Space Program one because I love the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy goes out there, his name's Chad, he goes out on stage and he's like, so who's played Kerbal Space Program? And the whole room's like, woo, yeah, Kerbal Space Program. Yeah. And he's like, oh, great, great, cool. Well, in this talk, we're going to talk about how we change the modules from separate scripts for each individual module to having kind of group scripts that we can assign individually. You know, I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then he like goes, now I've made a simple kind of visual representation of what goes on. I had no idea what anything was there.
The Game Developers Conference is quite literally for developers. I mean, that is their focus audience, isn't it?
It is, certainly. But what you find, and this is with all great conventions, is that all the hotels around the convention have people renting out suites and rooms, and they will be showing off their games without having to pay GDC a load of money to do it. They'll just do it in another venue.
Sure.
And so we spent most of the week meeting with indies, trying to see what was kind of new, what's the new hotness, and what we shouldn't actually bother with. And so that was really, really fun.
Yeah.
It was quite weird.
What is like the new amount hotness? Of times,
is there a new hotness?
Yeah.
There might be some hotnesses.
Yeah.
I'll have to think about when I do.
Hot now.
divulge the information.
Sure.
But it's weird because like you're walking around in a hotel. And it is literally just, I felt like a cheap prostitute at times, just kind of like wandering around thinking, I think they said 501. I'm going to knock on 501. And as you knock on it, door opens, you're like, hello, is this the game? And they're
here
like,
here for the thing, you know?
They're like, yes, come about. In.
Did you ever, like, oh. Did you ever screw up and end up in a hotel room that wasn't the one you wanted?
No. But during one of our kind of developer chats, there was a knock on the door and I thought, oh, hang on, are we ever running? Is someone else coming to meet? And they opened it and it was housekeeping. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I kind of like that.
That's awesome.
So it was really good. It's a great, great convention. And I'd never been to San Francisco before and I absolutely fell in love with the city.
It's just
such a lovely place.
Yeah.
That's why I've never left, Terpster.
Yeah.
Did a load of kind of touristy stuff. You know, I finally got around to seeing The Rock, Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh, nice.
That was amazing. And yeah, we did a load of other stuff as well.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think about this idea for The Rock, Terpster.
Okay.
A big paintball facility, just free for all.
Exactly.
On The Rock.
Already. So yeah, we were saying that we should try and see if we can do like a big airsoft tournament there.
Oh, man.
It just feels like it would just be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you don't need all the, you know, big, stupid, blown-up plastic things to hide behind. You just have all the stuff that's already there.
Yeah, it's already the greatest Counter-Strike map you've ever played.
Exactly, yeah. You can go into the jail. You can be outside. Like, there's all these, like, weird little foresty, you know, hidden areas off to the sides, too.
Yeah, I'd be down with this. Yeah, that'd be great.
You could have boats circling outside, you know, grenading in paint.
And they've got those organic paintballs, so they'll just biodegrade and
the
hippies will be happy.
Next time it rains, the sea salt or whatever.
I'm sure there's absolutely no negative side to this at all.
Probably not.
No, I think it'd be brilliant. I think it'd be brilliant.
No, that's cool.
So that's loads of fun. So lots of fun stuff. I've actually also got to hang out ever so briefly with our good friend of the show who still listens, Greg Street, Ghostcrawler, and he's doing very well in his new position over at Riot. And he's,
You know where he went.
Horde side.
That's where he went.
He did go Horde side over on LoL.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So he's like handling all the game balance and stuff over there.
Yeah.
So they've got like kind of two lead designers.
That's weird. That game, I thought, is supposed to kind of like balance itself because of the banning, but I don't really know the deal with it.
So hold on though. Here's a question specifically to your point about him being the balance guy over there now. This pretty much answers definitively, if we didn't already know now, or know before, we know now, that that is the game he's working on. He's not working on some secret MMO project. He's straight up working on LoL.
As I understand it, yes, that is what's happening. But equally, Greg may have just told me that.
Yeah, sure.
Just, you know, I don't know. Yeah. But I don't think he's that insidious about it. I mean, he was quite open and honest, as he always is.
Yeah.
Quite frank about what he's doing. But yeah, it was really good, and I was telling him about how he's always forever going to be Ghostcrawler, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's hard.
The name.
Yeah,
must be hard for him though. And there's no paladins over there to nerf.
You implement a paladin. That's what you have to start doing.
And then you just nerf it to the ground.
Then you nerf it, exactly. Yeah. Make it best.
Part of his contract. He says, "I'm not coming over here to Riot unless you let me nerf a paladin." And they said, "Fine, we'll put one in."
He said, "Oh, go on. Yeah, it's a tough negotiation." They're like, "You sure you don't want more money?" He said, "No, I want a paladin, and I want to nerf it."
Did you tell him? Like, I mean, I don't know how extensive your conversation was, and I know it was kind of a brief hangout given all the craziness, but did he say anything about, I mean, he knows people miss him, right? Like, as time has passed now, since BlizzCon, which was really just prior, or just over after that, they announced the big announcement he wasn't coming back. I feel like his presence is still missed. There is a voice missing from Blizzard now. Does he have a sense for that? Does he feel like, you know, he's...
I don't know. I didn't, you know... I mean, I love him to pieces, and so I blew a lot of smoke up his ass, Scott.
Yeah.
But I didn't really say, you know, "Oh my God, you're so missed."
Yeah, yeah. Good point.
Please come back. Come back.
Why
I
would
can
you?
Change. I can be different. I won't complain as much.
You're right.
Well, actually, no, I will. So bear that in mind. If you did come back, I complain. As much as before.
Sure.
But no, anyway, so it's really nice to see him, and he was really well. And so that's always, I think, you know, a good story that, you know, a good guy is still doing good.
Sure. Sure.
So that's
really
nice.
And he really did leave a seismic impact on the whole issue of flying in Warlords of Draenor, as that came up on our show and at BlizzCon. It's still a big stink, and I am constantly seeing the forums melt down over the stupid flying
Why?
Thing.
Why?
Because people are so worked up over it. I don't know.
We
the
never
general
fly at the beginning of a
Here's their argument. People from our own AIE circle are complaining, and they're complaining because it's different this time because they're withholding it for a future patch. That may even only be a week away from release, but one way or the other, they're artificially holding it rather than the game saying you need to get through these 10 levels to get it. In other words, people who go in there and cram out their 10 levels and do it in a day for some sort of realm first, which we know is not going to be in there this time.
They want to just instantly leap into the air and start flying.
They won't be able to do it because it's not implemented in that way. So that's currently the complaint. Most of us don't care because who cares? And those who say they care probably don't really care. They just want to care about a thing they don't care about. But I don't know why it's such a sticking point. And I know me just saying this will just fire up a bunch of new emails and people will have a million reasons why it's a bad thing. I'm telling you though, a week or two into that expansion and we're not going to care. It's just not going to matter.
No, of course not. No, exactly. And it is a better player experience not flying.
Yeah.
It's quicker flying, but it's not a more pleasurable experience.
But I still take pride. I still take pride that he told us this before anybody else. You know what I mean? Like that conversation in that show, I like that the controversy exists because he brought it up there and it continues to persist to this day. It would have come out no matter what, but you know, great venue to let that thing flop out like a hot fish in a boat. I don't know what that means. All right.
I have no idea what hot fish in a boat.
I did not mean to derail you though. So you got to hang out with Greg. That's cool.
That was cool.
He didn't drop any big hints about any other projects or anything like that.
He just told me what they're doing for the next three expansions, or at least, you know, no, he didn't.
He explained what Titan was.
Exactly.
Titan? He just spilled all the beans. Mm-hmm. No, it was like I said, very sort of brief little chat. We were two ships in a bar. Mm-hmm.
Two ships at some sort of global developers conference.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Running into each other.
Two hot fish in a boat.
Hanging out for a while.
Yeah. Exactly. But so that's always nice. Yeah. And the rest of the Blizzard guys were there en masse as well. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually get to chat to any of those guys though. So I saw Rob Pardo, but I don't think Rob knows me.
Did you talk to Lindsay by chance? Just curious.
No, I didn't see her out there. No,
yeah, she was there and again, running around like crazy.
Lindsay, but... I think Lindsay kind of recognized me a little bit at BlizzCon. Mm. But I don't think even then, if we had seen each other, there would have been much acknowledgement of who I am. Because I'm no one.
All right, but if you get to know you at all, prepare to have some sweet smoke blown right up your ass. I'm pretty excited about that. That's why I like it. That's why I like to get to know you.
Yeah? Is that what I really do?
No, you said it earlier. You said
I'm so tired, Scott.
You said it. You said it 5 minutes ago, so I'm just playing
Are you
off
sure
that.
It's not Thursday. I think it's Thursday still.
This is what Terster wants to say.
Oh, shit.
There you go. All right.
That's what I said. But anyway, what else we normally chat about is kind of games we played.
Yeah,
and
I played
an iPad game, which has been out for ages, apparently, Nightmare Tower. I haven't played it before. Mm. Absolutely loved it.
Tell me what this is about.
You're basically a knight on a rocket, and you are flying through a tower going upwards, and you just tilt your iPad left and right to move around and tap the screen to go down and hit an enemy. And the goal is to rescue princesses as you get to certain heights. It sounds weird. It's brilliant. It's so kind of brilliantly made.
Look at this. This looks like fun.
I have to share it. It's like Jetpack Joyride, but going upwards. And it's a real fun sort of easy
kind of game RPG elements in there is what attracts me to this.
Exactly. You have to upgrade your items and stuff like that, which then allows you to climb higher and do it better. Mm. And, I absolutely love that game. So if you if you've got an iPad or an iPhone, Nightmare Tower really
with a K, everybody. Night
with a K.
Like a knight.
Sorry, because it's a knight.
Nightmare Tower. It's $2.99. Which, you know what's funny? This is a good point. I want to bring this up. This is I think important to Blizzard players. When I see a game now that has got good reviews or has good gameplay or whatever, and I see that it's not free to play, I actually get excited. It used to excite me that, oh, I can just try this for free. Now I see this and go, oh, no in-game purchases, no freaking pay to win, no none of this stuff that we hate right now. I get excited. I'll pay $3 for an experience like that. I'm ready. So there you go. $3. Pay. Buy it.
Yeah, they got a free trial one. It says like free to try.
Yeah, they probably have a light version
on there. Yeah, exactly. But otherwise it was just like a really fun game and looks great.
I'm in. I'll get it and try it out.
Give it a go.
I believe you more than ever before. All right. What else? Blizzard didn't do anything other than do dev stuff, right? I mean, they didn't show up with any games to play, no playable stuff in a booth or any of that.
Not that I was aware of. I think they were literally out there as developers to share best practice.
Yeah.
But they might have been doing other things. I don't know.
Well, a thing happened this week that I want to mention that I want to know from the general listenership and from you too if this is something you do with Blizzard games specifically, because I kind of think it's a weird kind of an issue. So I'll just explain. Heroes of the Storm came out last week. We all got keys and we've been messing around with it and stuff. But something happens to me when Blizzard puts out one thing and I play it a little bit, it drives me to play something else they make. And it's not because I don't like the new thing they gave me. I think Heroes of the Storm is rad, and I want to keep playing it. But it drove me to play more Hearthstone this week than I have played in months.
Really?
And I don't know why. I just felt like I'm in the middle of playing a Heroes match. The thing ended, and I went, I'm in the mood for Hearthstone suddenly. It's almost like...
See, that's weird because, like, there isn't really, like, a Hearthstone character.
No. There's no connection, like, you know, really.
They obviously have...
Well, I mean, there's Malfurion and...
Well, there's characters,
I guess,
but,
yeah.
But that is... I don't know if that was it. I think it was just... I don't know what it was. And I'm, you know... I just got on this wild tear. I started building crazy decks I'm reading about. I just started playing a ton. I'm earning gold, unlocking packs. Found out I didn't have a freaking card that I really need bad for this build I want to make. And so I just kind of tried to grind for it, ended up getting it. Like, I just got all motivated to play that. I should be working on my chamois, but I'm not all that motivated to even touch that boosted character until the expansion now. I talked about it last week, but
yeah, there's not that much of a reason to do it, right?
Right.
Unless you're planning to, like, raid with it before the expansion.
And why would I? Because A, I should be spending that time on GURP anyway.
Yeah.
And B, even if I did, I'm like, I've just got to have these two guys maxed out with gear before the next expansion. Mm-hmm. That feels like a fool's errand because I don't know why I would do it. If it was earlier in this expansion, well, then that makes sense. You're working on characters for other reasons. You're trying to balance out groups. I mean, there's lots of reasons to have multiple characters raiding. But right now, with it this close or potentially this close, and with so much other stuff to do, including Blizzard stuff.
Diablo comes out on Monday night.
Yeah,
Tuesday.
This Monday.
It's going to be amazing.
And that's
going to
kill
everything. I'm just saying
now,
I might not be around next week because I might be consumed.
Are they doing any kind of European launch for that? Do you know?
They are doing one in London. I don't think I can make it, but I would like to.
You've been to plenty of those. You go to those all the time. Sure.
Exactly. I should rather stay at home and play at midnight.
Yeah.
I'll keep the jet lag till then. Stay up and play on the dot.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant.
Hold on to it for dear life. Yeah, that's going to change my whole outlook next week. And whatever Hearthstone fun I'm having right now will probably get shelved again for a while I'm doing that. But what I'm most excited about, and I know this sounds a little bit crazy, but I'm super stoked for Christy Golden's new book, War Crimes, which is not out yet, but they're showing some previews and stuff, and it looks rad. This is essentially the trial of Garrosh Hellscream. Yeah. And the lead up to Warlords.
Very
and,
modern. It's modern to the lore, basically.
Yeah, which I love her takes on that stuff. I love when her books come out specifically because I know that there are going to be these bridge gaps between chunks of content. Mm. And that it's just such a great fill-in. So it's a weird thing to say, but I'm more interested in seeing what she has to say about the fiction and lore between these expansions than I am working on a shaman who's actually in the expansion, if that makes sense. Like, I want to read that more than I want to play it.
Yeah, but equally as well, I mean, like, the Shattering, or the Sun, it was the Shattering,
yeah.
Her book basically filled in the gaps between the expansion.
Yeah.
It didn't actually, you know, we didn't see any of that stuff in game.
Right.
And that was really weird.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've got, like, Bane Bloodhoof gets killed by Garrosh. And I don't think, did that happen in game? I can't remember seeing that.
Well, let's see. It depends, I guess, where you are on the timeline of the game. I don't know. Is he dead now? In the game?
Well, yeah. Yeah. You know, hang on. Which one is... No, maybe I'm saying his son.
His son is
Bane. So it's the dad, which is...
Is
Cairn.
Cairn Bloodhoof. Cairn got killed. Because, and I should know this because of that I have that card in Hearthstone.
Yeah.
When he dies, his son pops in.
His son comes out. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see. Maybe it did happen in the game. Anyway, it just kind of felt like, you know, a lot of this important stuff does happen in the books.
Mm.
And so...
And the game doesn't always reflect it, yeah.
It doesn't, at least not in the same kind of detail. And so I think that really to understand what's happening at the start of Warlords of Draenor, I think that it's probably best to pick up the book.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's going to be good. And we should be able to get, we often have when there's a new book, we should be able to get Christy on the show again, talk about what the new book is, get a little interview out of them, which would be fun. Dills, what are you doing right now? Oh, I got a question for you first, real quick, about a card.
Sure.
About a card. So it doesn't seem to matter what, I'm going off the most popular hunter and mage builds, who are my two favorite characters in Hearthstone. I enjoy the play of those two classes more than others.
Do you like just going for the face?
I do. I think they're fun that way. I also like traps a whole lot.
Yeah, the traps are cool.
Secrets are great for the hunter. So all of that stuff's really fun. I just find them very exciting. I came back from a 30-3 score. Guy had me on the ropes, and I came back and beat him. There's nothing quite like that feeling. Mm-hmm. Here's the question, though. Doesn't matter what build somebody gives me. If there is a room for a card that costs me 8 mana, I am putting Magtheridon. My brain just went dead. I'm like Terpster with jet lag. What's the name of the Firelands old boss? What's wrong with me?
Ragnaros.
I put Rag in there every time. Every time. Yeah. Even if it says, oh no, you need the whatever two of these, you know, these other guys will make up for that or whatever. I can't help it. When in Hearthstone should you back off and go, well, just because something's cool doesn't mean you should play it?
Well, in the Hunter deck, you don't put Ragnaros because Leroy Jenkins is actually your highest cost card in that deck. That deck is a rush deck, purely a rush deck.
Yeah.
So it depends on the style of deck you're doing. If you're doing like a late game style deck, like you're probably going to last until turn 8.
Yeah.
But with the Hunter deck, the idea is basically the other guy should be dead by like turn 7, turn 6.
Yeah, I'm clearly
you don't
not
need
very good.
Ragnaros because you're not, you know, and then if you get to turn 8, you're not going to play Ragnaros and hope that it hits the guy in the face. You're going to play stuff that you know is going to hit him in the face.
Ah, that's just Ragnaros so satisfying.
And
yeah. Yeah. It's just so satisfying.
Totally random. So.
All right. You know. Well, no, it's fair. That's fair to do. I just stink. Yeah. That's really the bottom line. And I'm not rushing very well. So clearly when I'm getting the late game and enjoying the Ragnaros effect, I shouldn't be because I shouldn't be that far.
Well, if you want to play a late game Hunter, there is control Hunter decks out there that are actually kind of decent now. I mean, it's a little bit tough to make them work as well as that Rush Hunter. That Rush Hunter is just a really consistent deck because they have one of the strongest combos in the game with Buzzard followed by Unleash the Hounds drawing you like 5 cards. So that is pretty insane.
Yeah.
And then you can do things like Knife Juggler, Buzzard, Unleash the Hounds, and then you also chuck out 5 knives at the same time. You know, it's crazy.
Oh, wow.
That card.
That sounds incredibly overpowered.
It's pretty, and it doesn't cost that much mana to do, so, you know. And then if you don't get the cards, you can just sit there and just keep whittling away at their face with your hero power the entire time. So, by the time you get it, it's just, you know, it's too late for the other guy, basically.
Yeah.
They're a tough deck to play against, and actually they're one of the most popular decks, period, right now. Like, I was playing the ladder the other day, and I think I faced 7 hunters in a row. And I was like, okay, I guess I got to stop playing this deck. I got to play something that actually counters hunters.
You still find that kind of frustrating? I do, a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. When you're trying to ladder up in Hearthstone, you just have to deal with whatever the hell is going on. There's always a way to deal with it. There's some sort of counter deck to it. So if rush is the thing, you either rush yourself or you play
long enough to see yourself be rushed.
Mm. Yeah.
But does this happen? Like, if I don't mean to be dragging this out so much, but if somebody's going to play a Magic tournament and they show up at the comic book store with their decks that they've built, are they doing the same thing? Are they going for the best decks right now, given the right cards? And is it the same thing? It's not like this is any different than that.
All right. No, it's all net deck. So like, if you go to Magic tournament, sometimes at the Magic tournament, there's like 2 decks total in the entire thing. Everyone's playing, you know, the exact same cards as each other because this is the deck that's been figured out to be the best.
Right.
So basically, like, when that happens, then somebody comes up with a counter to that, and then that becomes the best deck, and then they counter that one, and that becomes the best deck. And at least Hearthstone has like 12, I'd say, kind of archetype decks right now that are all fairly viable. So, I mean, Warlock has 3 total, like 3 ways to play it right now that are all pretty good. So that's just one class having 3 ways to play it.
Yeah.
So it's in a pretty good spot, and it'll get better the more cards are there. So, you know, it is what it is. You could go make your own deck, but it probably won't hold up very well against some of these decks that have been like really refined over time by a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened with the net decking is one guy creates the first version, and then some guy takes it and then goes, oh, you know, it'd be better here is this. And then puts that out there, and everybody goes, oh, that's the new way to do that
deck.
Just
whittle it down,
And then eventually it's just like perfected, you know?
Yeah.
So it's that decking is negative and positive in different ways, but it's just always going to be there. So you just have to.
That's part of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, and it changes as you rank up.
Yeah. Well, for other noobs out there like me, this is good stuff. This is good things to learn. And where are you at right now? I don't even know. Okay. I've been doing mostly casual because the rank stuff scares me.
You should play the rank stuff, man.
I probably
You'll get
should.
Better games in ranked. Casual is too out there.
Yeah.
And casual, you don't know what you're going to get. And actually, people are in there playing good decks anyway because they're testing them out.
Yeah.
Might as well just play ranked.
I do find it to be a little weird. I'll get in there and play a complete noob and just trounce him, and then I'll get the next guy and he'll just murder me with what clearly is some sort of Murloc apocalypse. And so you're right. There is a lot of
that's
that
really cheap.
On.
Yeah.
It is. It's so cheap, Terpster. Yeah. You'd never bow to that. Yeah.
It's really good. It gets you out of the crap leagues.
Yeah. You can move up and get ranked
with it.
That's
the thing. I play I wish that the game had a lot more control style to it. That was more like, I wish that it was harder to play aggro than it currently is, but whatever. It's not. It's fine. So basically the way I ranked up is I played the Rush Hunter deck until I got to about like rank 10. And then I switched to a different deck based on what was going on in the meta at that moment.
Right.
Cause it's just the fastest way to rank up. It's just, it really is. So, there's no shame in it. You guys, everybody do it.
Sure.
Do it the most efficient way you can.
All right.
If your goal is actually to get to a high rank, then that's kind of what you
then
have
you kind of have to do it. Yeah. If you accept it as part of the mechanic, I suppose, then that's good enough. What have you else have you been up to this week?
Well, I'll tell you this. I think that Heroes of the Storm makes me go play Hearthstone because solo queuing sucks.
Yeah, it's bad.
Solo queuing is terrible because
there's not many people in it as well.
That's the thing though. But there's not that many people, but the fact is, there's not that many people, and the people who are in there all seem to be all grouped up together and on Skype or something. So if I'm solo queuing, which I have been because, you know, the only people I know who have it are you guys, and oftentimes you guys aren't on the same time as me.
Sure.
Or, you know, and I actually even like tweeted out, I was like, who else has this thing? I want to play with somebody. You know, if I do play with somebody, it's a little better, but, you know, when you play as a solo queue this game is so team-based.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to work well together. And when you're solo queuing, sometimes there's some dude who's just, like, chilling in the palace, just, like, sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm trying to get merc camps. I'm trying to, you know, get objectives done, and nobody else is doing it. And I'm just dying to, like, all five of the other, you know, team's heroes. And so that when that starts to happen, I just turn on Hearthstone again.
Yeah. Well, that's hopefully that's about to change. I noticed they started sending out new invites to people. Like Tom Merritt got one out of the blue.
Nice.
A few other people.
I mean, once the game is like out, they could have like separate solo queues I mean, like there could be that. Currently though, it's just, I'm just queuing into teams that are working together and my team is not. And basically it's like, I can't even really test the game out in that fashion. So.
Sure. Plus they're long. Those queues are long.
I'm not going to give up on it. I think the game is incredibly fun, and I'm coming around on some of the things that were issues for me at first, like the lack of items and last hitting and all that stuff. Is I'm realizing why this is okay, and that's because the game is really all about just fighting, and that's fun.
Yeah, fighting's fun, right?
Yeah, it's fun to just fight.
I like to fight.
I don't have to worry about opening up UIs all the time and deciding on something.
Yeah.
And you know, in the end too, in Dota and League of Legends and what's the other one? The Marvel one.
The DC one.
Infinity Crisis,
DC, yeah.
and all these other like games like this, like people still just like figure out what the best thing is and then do that. So it's not like there's a ton more decisions to be made in those games.
Right.
You know, it's like in this game, you have the talents that you choose to unlock. So they basically work essentially the same way that items do in those other games. So
right.
It doesn't really matter how they implement this. All that matters is that I have a way to customize my character as we level up. And
sure.
That's still get that. So I don't really see what the problem is.
Well, as we head into, I don't know, this new / current gen of consoles and new era of gaming and DirectX 12 being talked about at GDC and this all these new movements forward, I always like to think back on how important mods are to the world of video games. Dota, starting out as a mod for Warcraft 3, is now one of the hottest genres ever, and everybody's getting into it, including Blizzard now, which is funny because they're, you know, started right in their backyard. And then you got I think back to the original Team Fortress mod for Quake 1 that essentially made squad-based slash class-based shooters a norm and a normal thing. Capture the Flag started out as a mod and a first-person shooter game. You could argue that Counter-Strike started the sort of realistic modern-day military shooter craze. I just think there's more there. Minecraft is another good example. I mean, it's not really a mod, but it's this thing that's moddable and people are doing so many crazy things with it. And now that game type is being adopted by big developers everywhere.
I mean, the amount of, you know, fantastic game there is made by the community. It's all about crowdsourcing,
right?
You know, it takes, there's literally years and years and years of people's time spent every day making mods.
Right, and I make that point.
The developer can't hope to keep up with it. And, you look at, play games like Kerbal Space Program.
Sure.
They make modding for their game easy because they want to have mods made, and it makes their game better.
Yeah.
There's more content for their game, and,
Which brings me around to the whole point, which is I feel like Blizzard is doing a disservice. I know you can still do this in StarCraft, and they got StarCraft Arcade, and that stuff seems to be going okay and everything, but to take away fundamental modding rights from Diablo players and from future projects and from WoW, which has never had it, and these games that are, online all the time and therefore are more susceptible to problems if you're letting people mod or mess with them, I feel like Blizzard's maybe doing the next generation of good ideas a disservice by doing that. That's a long, arguable topic we could do all day, but I just wanted to put it out there because the more we talk about these things, I realize, man, even Blizzard's getting in on the business of a mod that was just a couple of dudes who put together this thing. I mean, some of the best gaming ideas we've ever had have come out of this, and it always seems to come from PCs, and because Blizzard's such a PC-centric company, it'd be nice for them to get back to that a little bit. And maybe Diablo's in a state now without auction houses and all those things that more
could
be done there.
They probably could do it at this point. I'm sure that the reasoning before was just the auction house and the online play. You couldn't really have that, but I think modding stuff, I would love to see an API for any game that comes out that anybody can mess with and do stuff too.
Agreed.
Right now, the only way to do like Hearthstone stuff is to use, you actually have to, read the Hearthstone screen to track stats, and it'd be cool if you could just like access it.
Would pull all that
information right out if you wanted to.
Agreed. But. All right. Well, let's get to. We do have big news this week. Let's get to it.
Oh yeah.
Here you go. Try here.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
Brought to you by your friends and our friends at DoghouseSystems.com, where you can get a brand new gaming rig today that will last you a long time. Somebody gave me a gift copy of Metro Last Light, and I've been wanting to play that, so I fired that thing up on my doghouse. They said, one thing to worry about, you might want to turn off the physics stuff and all those other things. It'll maybe slow you down. And I thought, well, yeah, my computer's, about a year and a half old
maybe.
Now. Maybe. Fired it all up, put it on max. Nope. Nary a slowdown. Runs just like smooth butter. That's the kind of rockin' rig you can get as well. Go to doghousesystems.com right now. Use the code Henry for double the memory at checkout. All right. As far as boosts go, according to some polling and data crawling that MMO Champion and others have been doing, it appears that Warlocks are the big winner as far as who is pre-boosting characters, which is kind of interesting.
Are they the big losers in that no one wanted to level one?
Ooh, I hadn't thought of it that way.
Had them before.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the thing is I've got a warlock at like 76, and it's just
languishing.
Just sat there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's just one of those classes that is a little bit. It's almost like the Death Knight in that you've got a couple of resources, and so it becomes a little bit difficult to manage or to play optimally. That equally as well. I mean. Leveling up. I mean, what's the best way? Is it affliction?
Mm-hmm.
Demonology? I don't know which is the best thing.
I think demonology is actually best
because you can tank probably,
because you got a stronger tank. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I level up just in dungeons. So I've been doing it as Destro.
Destruction. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's just easy to just AoE the crap out of everything as Destro.
Yeah,
That's what you do in five mans until you get to max level. Is you just AoE everything. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. They're number one. The top three are Warlock, Shaman, and Monk in that order.
Well, Monk makes sense because it's the newest, so probably less people actually have it. And these are the people who decided who didn't decide to roll it initially, mm-hmm. or they rolled it and then abandoned it. Now they're like, okay, well, now I can boost it again. So,
yeah, I feel like shaman is weird, but I always felt like shamans were not. I started like five shamans in the lifetime of the game and never finished anything because I always felt like they were kind of boring in the early game, and I still do. Even this latest guy that I took to 20 before boosting him, he just seemed kind of boring 1 to 10, 1 to 15, and they're much more interesting and exciting at max level or later levels. So maybe that's one where people are like, yeah, I really like what they do at 90. I don't know if I was so cool with what they were at 30. So maybe I'll just bump that guy.
Yeah.
The bottom three are warrior. This is going from third to last to last. Warrior, paladin, and death knight.
And so death tank, knight's way down there. And tank.
Tank.
Everybody
tank.
Already had these. It's that's just, why, I think.
Yeah, well, maybe. Or, I mean, I don't know, because tanks are always the easiest way to get through queues. And so I think that everyone should have a tank they can jump on because it just means that if you've only got, you know, an hour to play, you can jump in a dungeon really easily.
True. True. But you could do that with a healer too, you know?
That makes them the easiest to level though also. So
good point. Like, so you might need
to boost it because you can level it so fast. Because that's generally like when I play any character, if there's a tank or heal option, I choose that during leveling because it just insta-queues all the way. Yeah.
Speaking of which, boosted characters now start in the Shrine of Two Moons for the Horde and Shrine of the Seven Stars for the Alliance.
How does the Alliance get seven stars and we only get two moons?
Because two moons are better than seven stars. Come on.
You think so?
Yeah, that's the math. That's how it works. Actually,
seven is bigger than two. That's all I know.
Well, only to an ancient medieval people who don't know what stars are. They think they're smaller than
this
moons.
This game is Alliance centric, man. This game is all about the Alliance. Always has been.
Proof.
Pisses me off, man.
Proof, yeah. But when I did it, they plopped me down on the Isle of Hoo-Ha, and that's just the way that was. And I actually think this is a better move. Although, where are you going to do anything when you go to Seven Moons? Are you going to rush right out and do what?
You're going to go to Timeless Isle, but you're going to get the quest to go there, and then you're going to have a better understanding of your main hub.
Yeah, you're not just plopped
just
out there.
Plop over there and be like, well, where the hell is everything else? Oh, Timeless Isle. This is the game. Okay, cool. Let's do this. And then it's so separated from the rest of Pandaria that I think it's better to drop you right in the middle of Pandaria where you're going to be spending all of, like, anytime you need to go back and do something, you go to these places.
Yeah.
So that's where you should start.
Makes sense. I think they hot fixed it. So it wasn't even like a big patch or anything dumb. Let's see they got some PvP highlights I wanted to get to.
Yeah, this is actually really, I'm starting to get more on board with all the changes.
Feeling better about it the more they talk.
Yeah.
What PvP highlights are coming in Warlords? Lore is the guy who told us on the forums. He's the official poster on this, and these are kind of interesting. So I guess we can speak to these as any of these crop up as interesting. Crowd control disarmament. There's a lot fewer CC spells, especially instant and auto cast CCs, and more shared DRs among ones that remain. That is a major feature. And this is kind of them saying, hey, here's the synopsis of what we're doing so far. Health and scaling rebalance means little to no base resilience or battle fatigue are needed. And let's see, classes that aren't as reliant on gear to perform and does wonders for PvP class balance. You agree with that?
Wait, can we real quick go back to the first
thing? Yeah, go back to the CC.
This is a big deal because anybody who has done like arena or it is mostly an arena is where this is an issue, but Just getting CC'd for like 15 seconds straight is just not fun for anybody. Mm. And this is what happens. Like, they pick one person and say, okay, we chain CC that guy. So, you know, first we're going to, you know, you're going to go ahead and you're going to sheep him. Then you're going to hex him. Then you're going to sap him. Then you're going to, you know, and you basically
rinse and repeat when the cooldowns are down. Yeah.
Yeah, and then one guy sits there and never does anything. Doesn't get to play the game, period.
That sucks.
And this is like a hard thing to pull off, and it's a skill, obviously, to have the teamwork to do this stuff. But then it also makes it so the team that has the teamwork and experience just has such a huge leg up that there's like really difficult for the other team who maybe is newer to the whole arena scene to feel like they have a chance. And so it's a little bit, it just makes you feel bad when you're trying to learn the game.
Yeah.
So taking some of the emphasis off of that puts more emphasis on the battling and the fighting each other and the healing and whatever. It takes a little bit away from this whole thing that CC is what decides the outcome. And I'm really looking forward to that being that way. Like they're taking a bunch of CC away.
It's a cheese move for sure.
You know, some classes have like three ways to do it, and that's just crazy.
Yeah.
And they all have like different diminishing return charts and stuff, and it's just it's crazy. So this being all like simplified and lessened is going to make the game just more fun for everybody doing arena.
They mention
I'm excited.
Yeah, they mention Ashran, which is the new open world PvP zone, and they say they're not quite ready to share any details, but according to lore, what they're seeing internally is awesome. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's cool.
Is that literally don't just about it? It's looking good.
Yeah, pretty
really
much.
It's really good, good guys.
You should really see this, but you can't.
You can't
tell you anything.
Yeah.
It is so good. All I can say is I hope you bought the game already.
Because if not, you're going to miss out, or maybe you won't. Let's see. Skirmishes, unrated arenas that can be queued for either solo or in a group.
This is cool because this is really only cool just because a lot of people do this now where they want to do, they basically want to, duel people, but they want to do it in like a arena setting, right? And one of the arena maps.
Mm-hmm.
This lets them just do it in an arena map without, because currently what you have to do is you have to group up and do like a twos. And then tell one guy on each team to not do anything. So those two guys can battle it out with each other.
Nice.
Which is dumb.
Yeah.
Like dumb. There's no system to just do it this way. So
next up, they have spectator invites and tournament gear, additional tools to allow tournament organizers to run high quality tournaments without needing direct intervention from Blizzard.
This is great.
The spectator mode thing is pretty neat. We've been asking them for this though since like day one. So about time, I guess.
Yeah. But this also speaks to a couple of things. To me, like, first of all, it speaks to the fact that Blizzard is getting more and more into esports.
Yeah.
There's more people, I think, who work there now who are basically there just for the esports to get that thing right and all the platforms. But so it's good for Hearthstone, good for Heroes of the Storm, it's good for all those games that they're taking it serious in every single game. But also, this makes it so that maybe. WoW PvP will be more fun to watch soon because there's a lot of problems with watching it.
Yeah.
So if they figure some stuff out, get some more information on the screen for people, that's going to be exciting. Because right now it's tough. Try to watch it if you're not.
It's not easy. No, it's
just
hard.
I don't know what's going on.
You're just like,
I pretend. They're just
running away from each other.
I don't know.
What the hell? Yeah.
I mean, if they want this to become, they keep talking about, and they said in a recent interview that they're always trying to think of ways to make WoW more esport focused. I mean, obviously, that's a big focus at Blizzard in general now, but doing that right is a way to do that, because what other really competitive thing is happening in WoW that anyone cares about that? You know, I mean,
well, that's
live raids are interesting, but
live raiding, because that's also incredibly boring to watch from an outside perspective.
Mm.
Like, it might be exciting to play, but
90% is prepping and positioning. Yeah,
but I mean, it's like, okay, so the tank is tanking and he's getting healed. Okay, that's cool. So that hunter seems to be shooting the boss a lot. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah,
like there's not really anything, you know, that you could get from an outside perspective. But with PvP, you can definitely see, like, this guy did a skillful CC on this guy, and this guy like got away when he was almost about to die, and that's the kind of stuff that's exciting for people.
Yeah, and casters have to be able to get excited and go, oh, I can't believe he dropped the thing. You know, like, there has to be those moments, and that doesn't happen in raid. That's like, oh, the hunter stood in the poop. Well, of course he did. That's how the hunters go.
Exactly.
Let's see. What else? Oh, there to get the new built-in group finder. Much easier way to find party members for rated BGs and arenas. So that's that'll simplify things for some. But good stuff on the whole.
I'm hopeful that rated BGs can actually be something I feel like I can participate in at some point. Because right now it's just it's basically me. It's the same thing with the heroes. It's like either I go out and find a bunch of people who are all really geared and really good at PvP, and we go in there and hope that we don't run into a team that's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Or I try to find, you know, a way to solo queue with a bunch of people that I don't know at all, and it's basically terrible every time. I don't know. It's right now it's not something that very many people can participate in. So make the barrier of entry a little lower for that, please.
Yeah, please.
They're fun.
That's what you're asking. Finally, new ground mount news. This came from Mumper, aka Corey Stockton, on Twitter. Did you see Corey at GDC? He was hanging around, bumping about.
No, I didn't see him. Mm. I saw like a lot of his tweets of being in like bars I'd been in, but just after.
Still makes me wonder if he exists. He and I passed each other at BlizzCon like 50 times, and we're trying to talk to each other via Twitter to say where we'd be, and we still never ran into him. So I'm starting to wonder if he's real or not. Just a robot in a back room someplace.
Could be a robot.
Anyway, Corey had tweeted, all mounts will soon work as ground mounts, meaning all your flying mounts that can't work in dungeons that'll allow
for
ground mounts.
What about my seahorse thingy?
That too. That's the only one that won't. That one will not.
What?
No, they're not.
And they just put that into the... Like, no one goes to Bazgir.
I know. It'd be great if
you could use it. I want to use my damn sea pony.
I agree. That thing was cool. Yeah. But here's the thing. I think this is a concession on their part to say, yeah, you're not going to fly right away in Warlords, and yeah, we haven't told you when we're going to let you. So how about you get to ride whatever you want, wherever you want, where ground mounts are options.
I can see that. I can see that being a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to placate many people. It just stops that being an argument that they can say, you know, oh, but Blizzard, it's not that I want to fly. It's just that my favorite mount's a flying mount only.
Yeah.
No one actually.
How many mounts were only flying mounts, though?
Pretty fair amount of them. Early ones, especially. Like
really?
I can't use...
I feel like almost every mount that I have will run on the ground.
Well, most of the ones I have, tons that won't. Like, most of the stuff from the BC era and the Wrath era, those mostly are not... I don't think we saw anything that could fly and run alternately until Cataclysm. I think that's probably about accurate. Because most of my mounts from previous to that, they were not both. Like,
all my Griffins and stuff and like all the things I got in BC, like they all run.
They run, but they don't run in an area where... Well, hold on.
They run in BGs when I'm in a BG and I have my go-go mount going.
Exactly. And my...
And a mount.
In Wrath.
They look ugly as hell when they run.
Yeah, my Drake from Caverns of Time from doing that. Yeah. That used to run.
Well, hold on. The Caverns of Time I went, the one I did, am I thinking wrong? What am I thinking of? What's the one that you got down in Shadow Moon? The Shadow Moon.
The Nether Drakes.
I can't run them and just
run
in.
On that. Yeah.
Well, you can.
Well, if I take them, let's say you go to Silver Moon. So here's the big test. You go to Silver Moon, you pop out all your mounts and try to see which ones will. And I don't think most of mine do. I want to say the first one that did for me was that weird chicken one, the yellow one that you could buy.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I think so.
No.
Am I wrong about this?
I kind of think you are, Scott. I don't know. I'm going to load up WoW because it's going to be easier for me just to jump in.
Silver Wisp in chat room says the funniest thing I've heard all day, which is the ones without legs don't run. Well, that makes sense, I suppose. Mm. But my
flying disc and my magic carpet, like those don't have legs and they work as ground mounts.
Yeah, those totally work. Those totally work.
Everything could just float. It's fine.
Yep.
Maybe I've got it. You know what?
I think seahorse could just float.
Maybe I have it backwards. I'm thinking maybe the other way, because every time I pop my spectral tiger, I want him to be able to fly like my ruby panther dude can. And
yeah, I mean I can't think of a single mount I have outside of the seahorse that doesn't run on the ground.
Maybe I've got it backwards.
That just doesn't. Yeah, they all will, like, because I actually have an issue that I would like help from the people out there. I have that go-go mount mod, and I can't seem to figure out a way to just get it to not ever do any flying mounts in PvP. I still want to do like random whatevers. But anytime in PvP, I want to not ever get a flying mount because they look awkward when they run.
Plus, there's wings in everyone's face, and
Like I don't want my friggin' big crazy whatever to be like. I don't know. I don't want that particular thing. I want to pull out just a little wolf or whatever.
Oh, by the way, this just in: orcs look stupid on that Hearthsteed. Just want to put it out there. We look dumb on that thing, and I can't imagine what Torrens look like on that thing.
Let me check.
Real stupid.
I'm on my Torren now.
Yeah.
are you playing
over there? Is that what you're doing?
Hearthseed. I'm loading up. I'm testing mounts.
All right.
I look amazing. No, I look phenomenal.
You look fine? All right. My orc looks real stupid on the horse. I don't know why. I don't think orcs should be on horses. I think there's something about that's lowering themselves to an alliance level when they ride a horse, Hearthstone related or not. Anyway, and by the way, my third win to get that mount in Hearthstone was that 30-3 fight. Most satisfying win of my life. Oh my gosh, that was great. And I could tell what happened, Dills. He spent all his cards early that were good. And
Corey clarifies it in a tweet. He says, this should mean that those mounts will work on the ground anywhere flying is not allowed. Timeless Isle, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
But this can't be that. This is only a few mounts.
Here's what I'm thinking. Here's where the confusion is. In the areas where it's restricted is only where it's been a problem. I think that's why it's in my head this way. Because
if you queue for a battleground, can you mount up on a Drake?
Yes. No.
You can. I can. Some, I do it all the time.
Some you can. Not all, though, right?
This is the problem that I have, is I do it all the time. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to get on this thing right now. Go mount. I just want whatever. But they just run and they look stupid. And yeah. So this has to only be a few mounts. This can't be that many.
All right. I have it in my head that it's a ton, but I think
all my proto drakes, all of those will all work in Battlegrounds. I swear to God.
Okay. Like,
every single one I have.
Good. Terps, go to Silvermoon and just see what doesn't work.
The one I got from ICC for, you know, that we did all the achievements and we got the ICC and he's a big skeleton.
Yeah, I remember that
thing. He works in a Battleground. He does. Runs around on the ground.
That one does. I don't have a problem with that one.
They all do. Here's
the thing. Don't think of this as people listening, don't even worry about this being a confusion. Just be glad that we actually have a reason to go to Silvermoon and test it. Like there's Terpster actually going to Silvermoon for a reason.
I'm just gonna grab this portal here and not use my Hearthstone.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
All right.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen this loading screen in forever. It's got a Karma and Medivh. Maiev even. And Outlands in the background.
Wow.
Fantastic. Right, okay. So I am walking out. There's a mage has just transformed Uwasalia into a giraffe. I'm sure there's some lore for that. Right, going outside.
All right.
I am loading up Tyrael's charger. That works on the ground fine. Okay. And I can't jump into a thing.
Okay.
Let me try.
Try.
This is getting
exciting. Try your nether drake. Do the nether drake.
Okay.
So I do. I think this is only maybe like four mounts or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God.
I have this so bad.
So I'm using my Azure Nether Drake. You can't use that here. Okay. There you go, Scott.
All right.
So I cannot mount my Nether Drake.
I'm partial to that Drake.
I cannot use my flying machine or my turbocharged flying machine.
Yeah.
My albino Drake. It's not letting me go on to it. My bronze Drake. No. So my bronze Drake doesn't work. Yeah.
None of my wrath Drakes work.
So literally, this is weird. So none of the flying mounts that aren't horses. Trying out my Hearthsteed works fine.
Yeah, it's new.
My Imperial Quailen.
Any of the new stuff's going to work fine.
Yeah.
All that missed stuff. Every one of those is both.
Yeah. No. So my red Drake, amber Drake, all of that. Swift purple wind rider works. That's fine.
So the wind, so the original wind rider stuff is fine.
Yeah, that's all fine.
So I would have, if you'd asked me, but
violet proto drake. No. My proto drake doesn't work.
Mm.
The violet proto drake doesn't work.
My violet one doesn't work. No, my wing guard.
All the other proto drakes.
It seems. Work. Well, I don't know. It seems like
the red proto drake, the one that
at least in Silvermoon. I think that Scott's right. I think that actually very few mounts do work here. Which is weird.
Yeah, that's my experience in there. And I remember...
I know that, you know, historically, even in the past, though, like before they made it flyable, I still could use my amber Drake in Stormwind and stuff like that on my alliance.
So maybe the rules are different in by zone. Like, maybe there's just so much wrong with...
I don't know about Silvermoon, but when I'm
Silvermoon is like the worst. It
seems like they all work. I can't remember a time where I was like, oh, this one doesn't pop up. You know,
well, in that case, this is a good thing overall because that means some uniformity here. You're not going to wonder which one's not going to work, and if you have a favorite, you don't have to guess as to whether it will or won't. And that's good. This is all good. So, Corey, thanks, man.
I only tend to use my big Blizzard Bear anyway, just because it's such a badass mount.
Of course.
Somebody, Tad Pooler, said Blizz is giving you the option to select a bunch of favorite mounts and randomly mount one of those. That would work for what you want, Dills. No, that doesn't work for what I want, because that's what Go-Go Mount already does.
Yeah, Go-Go Mount
is
that.
What I want is I could do this where every time I go into a battleground, I can say, for this area, only use this mount or whatever, these selections of mount. But it doesn't have just like a B BG, like all Battlegrounds. These are my favorite mounts.
Yeah.
So in essence, what I'd have to do is select a bunch of stuff every time I go into one. And that's just annoying to do. So
nobody's going to do that. Yeah. That's true.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nobody got time for that. World of tweets.
We only have time for 140 characters worth of stuff.
Right? Yeah, and there's only two of them today.
Okay,
so.
I'm exiting the game. I'm just going to log out.
You just keep working on your Silver Moon rep.
Actually, I might do. Yeah.
I'm excited
to the Kel'Gora.
Somebody said, I'm excited for the healing changes. Looking forward to not having millions and millions of overhealing as a monk. Celestalon replied, yeah. Wasn't it cool when overhealing was regarded as a bad thing? He kind of makes a sarcastic good point here, which is, there was a time
mana efficient.
Yeah, everybody complained about that before. Now they want it back. Blah 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 blah. Whatever.
But I think it's good that overhealing is bad. Right now, it's just like whatever. Just keep checking them out. Fine. Yeah. Yeah. But it should be a thing you have to manage. You know, not overdoing it. Yeah. You have only finite amounts of mana.
Like all things in the game, they should have some. You should have to work some of it,
just
or get rid of it.
Figure it out. No, just spam heals because you can.
Right. We had to feed our pets until it didn't make sense, and then you just took it out. I get it. Next one. Plans to nerf heroic garage mount chance? If so, pre-patch 6 or WOD release? Asks this person, and Watcher Dev says, yep, same as Invincible and such. We will go to a low percent chance, not before WOD release, though. So if you wanted real bad to get that particular mount in the garage achievement thing deal, like all of these things. And if you're like me, you'll get this like two expansions later. You'll go in
there.
That's what
I'm looking forward to.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to 2 years down the road.
I mean, how long? It was like 6 months ago. We just got the heroic Lich King one, I think. So this doesn't affect me all that much, but I know some people will be excited that that's coming. So watch for that percentage increase coming with the expansion. All right. That's it for tweets.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
Town Crier brought to you by Nerdtacular 2014 at nerdtacular.com. If you want to come, you want to hang out with the favorite Frog Pants producers and hosts and do all kinds of fun stuff for a wonderful weekend in July, all the details are there, nerdtacular.com. Tickets are going fast. I'm told we're somewhere like 80% sold. That means you best hurry because they are going quick. All right, call us, 206-202-3969. Leave us a message, make them short, interesting. We'll play them on the show. We have all calls today. I'm going to start with this one. Oh, our email, by the way, is theinstance@gmail.com. Our first one is, we are all noobs in the end.
Yeah, hi, this is Rizak from U.S. Malagos. Running some LFRs, I noticed the word noob again. And it wasn't directed at me, it was directed at somebody else, whatever. But in World of Warcraft, sure, it just seems like the word noob has become the new World of Warcraft N-word. I don't like it because at one point we were all new players.
Okay. But it's an interesting point. I don't know if I would put it on par with the N-word. No. It doesn't have the same critical history to it.
I made a segment for the AIE podcast years ago where I made that comparison and I was like, it's not really accurate.
Yeah. I mean, I get
it's definitely
that,
rude.
Sure. Sure.
It's meant to be rude.
I don't take it as rude.
If someone calls you a noob, what do you do?
No, somebody you don't know calls you a noob. Yeah. They're trying to be mean to you.
Yeah. What do you do, Terpster, when you're called a noob? What do you do?
I don't do anything. It's just like,
yeah, move on.
Yeah. It's like, all right, fine. Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah.
You're a, and then I say something even worse.
Right. You're a douchebag, Carl.
Get a temper ban. Yeah. But no, I don't. It's a load of rubbish, isn't it? Like, honestly, if you're going to get upset about people calling you noobs, you know, you're just getting upset about, you know, make-believe language.
The noobs, the true noobs are the ones that are upset about people calling them noobs.
I think really,
yeah, maybe. It's a newbie. It's just, you know, it's just
new guy.
If somebody decides to log into a video game and be mean to other people, like, you should just feel sorry for that person, really, not be upset about it, because what's going on with that guy's life? That,
yeah,
they're logging into a video game to be mean. What's going on with that guy?
Yeah,
like,
what rancid piece of chicken showed up in his stew that morning? You know?
Wow.
You know? Think of it that way.
It's just ignore it, brother. Don't care. Move on. It's no big deal. I mean, it's obviously a little bit annoying when it's just toxic is the entire environment, but
Plus, you can ignore.
It's just a guy here and there.
And if it's in like Raid Finder and things like that, yeah. I mean, yeah, come on.
Ignore.
I go into a battleground and it's just like that's the entire chat is telling everybody how much they suck. Like, oh my God, you guys all suck. What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you just keep playing. You just have
to learn to laugh about it as well. It's just, you know, it's just people being people.
Yeah. People are being people. Let's find
people
out.
People being people on the internet, really.
Let's find out what happens when gear is being gear.
Hey, The Instance. I have a quick question for you guys because I can't find any information on it. So with gear changing in Warlords of Draenor, it says that you won't need to have multiple sets of gear anymore because the stats will change to whatever spec you are. So you don't need four sets of gear to be a druid anymore. What is it? Do we believe that this is going to change bind on account gear? Or is that just going to stay the same where there's agi mail and int mail for shamans and hunters? Or what do you guys think?
I have no
freaking. I don't think anyone's asked this question.
Well, most of the current heirloom gear doesn't go up that high anyway. Like it stops at, you know, 85 or whatever it is. So that basically doesn't even matter. So they'd have to introduce new versions of those pieces. So
is it only on post 90 gear?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that it would change at that point. Well, the thing is, I'm saying like you wouldn't even need to wear it, like, in those places.
But that thing is, this system only on post 90 gear?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's a good point. You'd still be wearing it. Yeah, they'd have to change it all then.
Yeah, I guess they would.
I think, as I understand it, you know, they're making it less so that they give something, you know, 200 strength and that they give it 200 primary stats. And then depending on which spec you're in, that's going to be easiest for them. It's just to go through and change all of that.
Right. And and you can only assume because I can't imagine it just starts at 90. This stuff has to go all the way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be really weird.
It'd be awkward.
And there's like three sets of gear and then you get to 90 and it's like, okay, never mind that anymore.
Whole new gear system. Yeah.
So I would imagine that they're going to change it so that it would just scale.
So think about it. You really only need to change like one stat, really, because nowadays you get primary stat and then stamina, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get all the other stuff that doesn't necessarily need to change, like crit, haste, all that stuff. Doesn't really need to change depending on what spec you're in, because those are all still valuable stats when you change spec, right?
Right. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I think that's going to be the way it'll go. But you're right. There's not a lot about this. I'd looked around. There's no posts. There's no real talk about it. So I think people assume they just got it under control. Here is a call about using the high road.
A lot of people have been talking about the lack of flying mounts in Warlords of Draenor, and I got an idea that might be good, might be bad. Help me out. What if you got a 15% passive move speed bonus if you were mounted out of combat and using a road? I think it might encourage some world PvP for people who like world PvP and get everyone out into the road instead of just running to the flight master and going from point A to point B.
Okay, it's an interesting point, but I think the complaint, it's a really cool idea, but the complaint, this doesn't really serve the complainers because the complainers are saying, well, wait, I want to farm, you know, this particular whatever out in this area for my mats and I want to be able to just hop, skip, and jump between things. This method just means you still got to run there. So their problem isn't addressed. It may run there a little faster. But they still have to kill stuff between there and here. They're still going to aggro stuff. Like that's their chief complaint is not addressed, sadly. But it's a decent idea.
I quite like it though, as a thing.
Sure,
I think that's really cool.
It's an all right idea.
Well, do you guys remember though when you first played this game, and like being on the road was such a big deal?
Yeah, it was a huge deal, or else you would die.
Yeah, like I can't kill the mobs that are off the road, so I need to stay on the road.
Yep,
that feeling was actually kind of important, and I kind of liked it. Like, oh, I want to just grind for a while. I'm going to go off the road, man.
Yeah.
Where it's dangerous. There's mobs out there and stuff.
You're a renegade, Dills. Get back exactly. on the road.
Yeah, why are you not on the road? Don't you see how dangerous it is?
Yeah.
But like that feeling is completely gone now.
Carl in The Walking Dead. It's just stay on the road,
stay on the road, you stupid
Why
kid.
Are you walking backwards in the zombie apocalypse?
Yeah,
but I mean, it's you ever use the road? I use the straightest line to get between two places.
Yeah, because you can. Back then, there was a danger, and that sense of if I leave this comfort of this road, there's a real benefit to that. Because if I win, this is great, and I'm doing good work. And if I don't, well, then I've learned my lesson. And I got to be careful. That's no longer that game. The game doesn't have that anymore at all anywhere. which is too bad. I kind of wish it did. Maybe it does for new players. Maybe we're just used to it. You know, maybe if you came in for the first time, I don't know.
I mean, I feel like we're all just so powerful in the early stages now that it's really hard to die. And I bet even a new player feels like it's really hard to die.
Yeah. And maybe they don't want to die because they know they've got 90 more levels of this. And maybe Blizzard knows that a player at level 5 doesn't want to feel that way for the next 90 levels.
I guess. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just, I just remember just how hard the game was at, level 12.
Sure.
Yeah. I wonder how much Blizzard actually plays with that information, all the stats they must have.
Yeah.
Whether or not they actually just have a huge amount of data, if they got a huge amount of information.
I'm sure they do. They can tell how many people got killed by quill bores and Durotar and
yeah, but how do they actually then implement that though? Well, I would love to see them designing zones based on these sort of stats, and literally have a computer designed zone that just is based on all the information, this is going to make people love this zone the most. I don't know.
Yeah. It was just
The one good thing that that Timeless Isle did was kind of bring that back, that feeling of oh my God, I'm going to die.
Yeah, a little bit.
And that, I want the game to feel more like that in more places.
Especially with the PvE sort of you against the environment kind of moments in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Hellfire Peninsula and being oh my God, I might die at any moment because the freaking Fell Reaver might come up behind me and that kind of stuff. I really liked that. That feeling in the game.
Yeah.
Also, there was the world PvP going on in there too. And that kind of stuff was just exciting. It just made regular play exciting rather than right now where I'm okay, I got to put my podcast on, got to watch some Twitch while I grind this crap.
I felt that way
I'm not in danger right now.
I felt that way all the way through Wrath. I want to say by the end of Wrath, I was still feeling that sense. You'd go to Grizzly Hills and you'd still kind of be like, I'm not going near those spiders over there. And if I get anywhere near that, I'm toast or whatever. There was still kind of that sense of fear and wonder. And then something started to change. And what I think changed was this. So many levels to do. Blizzard needs to simplify that stuff. It no longer needs to be curated for it to be a scary, more palpable place. It needs to be a place that people can get work done and have it be interesting. And then they started switching their efforts towards scripted events, phasing, things that made for mechanical additions to the game you couldn't do before. That's the switch over. And they got away from that's a cave and I'm going to die in there. That stopped being a thing.
It's still possible in this day and age because of what Timeless Isle has shown us.
Well, hell, if Skyrim taught me anything, it's that I should be afraid all the time.
Yeah.
You
never know.
So
dragon may come down from the sky all I have is a stupid arrow. And
even then, once you got to a higher level in Skyrim, I just killed stuff. I'd, be able to stealth impossibly in front of someone. I'd hit them and my gloves gave me 400 times damage backstab.
Arrow from behind kills anything.
Exactly. And it's just so I think that, with all games, they run that risk of how do you make someone feel powerful and have some form of development whilst also feeling challenged?
Sure.
And that balance is hard.
The other challenge is people saying the word Skyrim without me wanting to go play it some more. So let's quit talking about Skyrim because I love that game.
Scrim.
Let's talk then about this call, which is about his boost experience. Here you go.
Hey, Scott Hills, Terpster. What's up? This is Dukapoof, Deep Server, Nerzul Server, etc. I just had a question. Okay, so I went ahead and bought the pre-purchase for the Warlords of Draenor expansion pack, so I got it, and then I got my my level 90 boost, and I ended up getting a druid, most complex class. Anyway, so I got it, and I'm wondering, is that my one level 90 for the expansion, or is that just a bonus for me getting the expansion early by pre-purchasing? Let me know what you guys think. Love the show. Peace.
That was your one time.
That was your one, dude. You just used it. But I think the real revelation of that call was his name was Dukapoof?
Yeah, Dukapoof.
Is that right?
Dukapoof.
Dukapoof?
Wow.
Yeah, P-O-F or P-O-O-F at the end.
Well, Dukapoof, you chose Druid, and I hope you feel you chose wisely, but it sounds like you don't think you did, because when you said most complex class, you sounded depressed. In that
I wasted it on this.
It's complex, it costs
you $60 to do it.
It's complex in the sense that, I mean, I don't play a druid, but my feeling from people who play them well is that they allow you to be as complicated as maybe your playstyle will allow. So you can go crazy with some of those specs. But then there's some specs where it's like, man, I'll just come in and shoot with my owl and everyone's happy, you know? My
boom but owl's pretty complicated, man. There's you got to manage moon and sun or whatever, and like the two things like go back. It's weird.
Yeah.
Force rotations.
If you don't want to think, you do the bear, because the bear has like five abilities, and basically you just do two of them.
You just spam tank with the bear. That's why Manny uses his bear.
You swipe stuff, and then you then you don't. Then you just hit single guy, and then you swipe again. Like there's not a lot going on there. There you go. Be a tank, buddy.
Be a tank.
Be a tank.
Yeah, be a tank. Be the tank. We got a bunch of other calls, but some of them were way too long. One of them stood out, and I just wanted to mention this. Got a really long call about two-player instances and why we've never seen this in the game. Still a thing that some people want because, you know, it's him and his son. Yeah, me and my 10-year-old, we want to go together and do cool stuff and not just have it be quest stuff. We'd like to do dungeons together or, you know, dungeon content.
But me and my three friends want to do something together, and me and my eight friends.
Scale it,
that's what I'm saying. You can't cater for everyone, and it's a social game. You just got to team up with other people.
But didn't Flex cater to everyone? Isn't that what it did?
No, Flex helps bigger groups of players that aren't massive groups of players.
It caters, but to a. Like, I see what Terps are saying is that when you start catering to every single size of group, from 2 to 25, like, then you're really opening yourself up.
What if you could say 5-man content, 2 to 5 players, scalable?
Well, you know what you can do is you go back and you do old stuff that you could solo, or you just do with two people.
That's like, a good
you
point.
Just can't do the new stuff with two people.
Yeah.
And that's because it's too powerful.
I have
stuff
the answer.
Too powerful.
I have the answer. Buy Diablo and get the expansion.
There you go. You can do as many people as you want.
Yeah, well, two, up to four.
Yeah, I know. I was about to say 2, 3, even four.
Even four. Whoa. That game is
no
really
one
good
needs
at that.
Four.
That. Look, the fifth guy is always douchebag Carl.
Exactly.
We all know that.
Always
so
every.
Might as well stop it.
Every damn time. All right. I can't wait for that to come out. Let's do. Oh, we're winding down. Let's get to this right
Next
here.
Next time you're in a 5-man, try to figure out. If there's no other douchebag Carl, you are the douchebag Carl.
You must be it.
Who's the douche?
The drop of the week.
Brought to you by GameTimeZone.com, where you can use the code Warcraft for 5% off. Check this out. Female dwarves have been updated with a bunch of new screenshots on the WoW site. Some new faces, updated faces, in fact. And it's worth checking out if you're into that sort of thing, if you're into the dwarf ladies.
Into that sort of thing, you certainly should check it out.
Yeah.
Those sexy dwarf ladies.
You already have if you're into that.
They did confirm PAX goers, PAX East goers will get a chance to be hands-on with all the new models thus far that have been revealed. So you'll get to play with
Very
her.
Nice.
And, yeah.
It also said, and this is off topic a little bit for us, but it also said that they will get to use the iPad version, which makes me feel like maybe I was wrong because it's not until like April 10th or 11th or something, right?
Yeah, they did
and
say that.
I thought that April 1st was going to be iPad. So now I'm thinking maybe not, because that shouldn't even be a big deal to say if it's already out. Yeah.
I tied my wagon to you on that. I really want that one to be true.
I'm hoping that I didn't screw that one up.
Yeah, we're talking Hearthstone,
Sorry
folks.
If I did.
So Hearthstone will be playable on iPad at PAX, which does make it sound like, ooh, you can only play it here. So probably not going to have it yet. But hey, that may mean soon, though. So we'll see.
Could be soon.
Yeah, and they'll have a bunch of other stuff, a bunch of Diablo stuff. They'll have the PlayStation 4 version, which they're calling the Ultimate Evil version, which is Diablo 3 and Reaper in one for the PlayStation 4. So that's interesting. People want to check that out. That's it. That's our show. Thank you guys all for joining in, listening live and on hard drives and however else you're listening to the show. Terpster's so fresh back from GDC, probably has nothing to plug.
Nope. Just.
Sleep.
Gonna go have a sleep in a bit. Yeah,
you probably should. You're a tired guy, but you're a trooper for.
I'm a tired trooper.
Yeah,
that's what I am.
All right, good. Dills, anything on your end of the world that you'd like to promote?
Well, I would love to promote someone adding me on Heroes of the Storm so I can play with them.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Let's get that going. Let's stream that or something. I'll be on that. I'll play that.
Okay. All right. I want to play. Yeah, I just want to play with
you and anyone else. I'm ready.
Even if I lose, at least I lost with somebody. And, you know, because right now when I lose, it's just a hollow, empty feeling.
Sure.
Okay, I guess I queue again.
I'll bet for at the very least we could get me, you, Tom, and then find two others. I'm sure we could do this.
Sure. Yeah. Currently, unfortunately, my Angry Chicken co-hosts are not in there, and they really want to be. They're very excited to try the game out. So hopefully they get in there soon. Sure. That would be good. Jocelyn and Garrett would be fun to play with.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. The Angry Chicken. There you go.
Yeah.
That's my other.
Oh, yeah. The Angry Chicken.
Go listen to that if you like Hearthstone.
TAC podcast on Twitter. Support their Patreon, all that stuff. It's all good.
Yeah. We're on Frog Pants.
Yeah, it's a Frog Pants thing. You can find us on the mega feed. And looking forward to Nerdtacular like a wild man. Can't wait for all that. If you folks would like to listen to more shows and more stuff, check us out at frogpants.com. Big thanks to everybody for helping make the show be possible. Our intern, Paul Swickard, Matthew Oxley for our theme, and so many more. Forum, show notes, archives, and more at theinstance.net. On Twitter, follow the show at Instance Show, Terpster at the_T, Dills at Willie Dills, and me at Scott Johnson. That's it. We're done. We're out. Thank you guys for being here. For me, for Terpster, and for Dills, we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Oh, shit. You dick.
Famous dwarf comes out of the forest. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Anticipation has been high for the release of Bran Broadbeard's autobiography titled A Brand New Me, but what people didn't expect was that the dwarf meant the title literally. In the book released today, he tells of how he isn't a Bronzebeard by blood, but was adopted after being orphaned as a baby by Wildhammer clan parents. He goes on to write that his Wildhammer heritage is the source of his love of exploration and nature, and then makes the shocking revelation that several years ago he secretly converted to Druidism because he felt, quote, that is what my true parents would have wanted their son to be, unquote. In a later chapter, Bronzebeard describes how a research visit to a Gilnean refugee camp cemented his decision to convert. There, he met Worgen druid Stephen Sirwich Stanton, and over many late-night drinking sessions, they spoke of life, philosophy, and religion. Bronzebeard was so impressed by the Worgen that he writes that should he ever settle down and have a son, he'll name him Sirwich. Reaction to Bronzebeard's becoming a druid was mixed. Anduin Rin made a point of buying a signed first edition of the book. Jaina Proudmoore, whose views on druidism have recently generated controversy, declined comment. And oddly, Harrison Jones seemed more concerned that Bran would name his son after a worgen. Before ODN could ask why, a hunter's snake trap went off nearby, and Jones fled the scene. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
The Buxley is strong with this one. Welcome to Buxley's Journal. Hello, this is the help desk. My name is Buxley. How may I help you? You think kids keep leaving things out on your front lawn? For like the last week? Like what? Cobalt candles? Crawler mucus? Pearls? Iron 2 explosives? A what? A tattooed pirate head? A lot of tattooed pirate heads? How many do you consider to be a lot? Yeah, okay, dumb question. Any amount of tattooed pirate heads is a lot. I can see that. So, I have a question for you. Are you a quest giver? Whoa! Okay, I get it, lady. You don't like quest givers. Okay, yes, I'll agree with you. They stand around all day talking to you one second and ignoring you the next. I just was asking because I thought with all that stuff, you even sent out a petition. For what? To get rid of quest givers altogether. I think that's going to make some people kind of mad. Yeah, yes, ma'am, I understand. I understand you don't care what people think. Well, ma'am, to be honest with you, I think a bunch of quest givers got together and started dumping stuff on your lawn because they don't like that petition. No, no, ma'am, I don't have any idea what you can do with that stuff. No, I can't be the one to ask the quest givers to take it back. They're not going to listen to me. Look, I don't even have a good idea what they usually do with that stuff in the first place. No, ma'am, keeping all those quest items is not the reason they call it the Horde. Hey, wait a minute. You know, you could always try the auction house. Yes, ma'am, I agree with you. That would teach them from messing with you. Okay, you're welcome. Goodbye. If you'd like to see what I'm up to, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Azrothian Heroes.
Real Azrothian Heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. Just Give Me the Horse.
Mr. Just Give Me the Horse.
Blizzard officially launched Hearthstone, and to promote it, they're offering a free mount for winning just 3 matches.
How hard can it be?
I mean, come on. It's a card game, and it's based on Warcraft. You've played things like this your whole life. How hard could it be?
This ain't resale.
But soon you realize that though you might want to play without leveling all your characters, others don't. And they have lots of cards that you don't.
Ouch! That burns my face.
So crack open a nice cold Noggin Fogger Elixir. You hear from the horse, slightly off course, newest player and card slayer. You're going to be here a while. Always play Yeti.
Mister, just give me the horse.
Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek, hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com, and subscribe to Revan Geek's Parody Palace and I Remembered It Better on iTunes.
Hello, this is the Azeroth Archives. I am Ataristus, Forsaken Rogue extraordinaire and lead explorer for the Archives. While the space goat sat blubbering in front of the closed for renovation sign,
not blubbering.
I went and did something useful. And by something useful, I mean stabbing things. And by things, this time I mean ogres. Besides being ugly, another thing that orcs, draenei, and ogres have in common is they all came to Azeroth from Draenor. Now they're everywhere, both here and on Outland. Blade's Edge, Nagrand, Dire Maul, the hole where Dalaran used to be in the Altrak Mountains. Wherever you are, you're probably a dagger's throw away from hitting an ogre between the eyes. Most of them are barely smart enough to hold a club and swing it at something that isn't its own head. Some of them have 2 heads, but the heads spend so much time fighting each other that they're no better off. Some of these can use magic, not saying they can use it well, but they can shoot a frostbolt or two before getting angry and picking up a club. An ogre's club will crush your skull in one blow, but as long as you're smart enough to not let them hit you, they're easy stabbing. The leader of a clan is the biggest, ugliest ogre or other monster they can find. On Draenor, some ogres both worshipped and were enslaved by the giant Gron race, probably because they were too dumb to tell the difference other than ugliness or size. Stay out of the leader's way, or convince it that you're one of them, and you'll be fine. I'm off to stab more ogres. The alien is back next week. Till next time, Dark Lady watch over you.
Follow at Azeroth Archives on Twitter, and visit azeroth-archives.tumblr.com.
Greetings, and welcome to Slash Grants. I'm your host, Yifeng G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft. This week's achievement is Spill No Evil. The goal here is to complete Stage 2 of Ngaungu without any brew being stolen from the cauldron. So we really want to protect that cauldron. I suggest have one player go around and collect all the brew, and have 2 players stand by that cauldron. Preferably one that's got a pet. Maybe 2 have a pet. Maybe you got a mage and a warlock. You can put your pets on taunt, and you can just hang around that cauldron. Make sure you stay right up on that ramp, because that's where they're really going to attack and grab those brews. Be sure to use those bombs and place them correctly. Place them all around, and just keep your eyes on them. Make sure they're always up. Set up your hunter traps. Just don't let any of those bad monkeys get the brews. If you do this correctly, you get the achievement Spill No Evil and 10 points. Catch up on old shows at slashgrads.com or find us on Stitcher or iTunes. You can contact me on Twitter. I'm EFinkG4. Good luck, and we'll see you next week.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Malgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, what is the best way to hint to my neighbor that I have had enough of their visiting and I would like them to go home? It should come as no surprise to any seasoned host that the ever-present danger of holding a party at your home is the guest who is having such a good time, at your expense, I might add, that they forget to leave. Now there is a surefire way to get rid of unwanted visitors. Offer to let them sit on your new Hearthsteed mount. One simple slap on the rump later, and your neighbor will be quickly and efficiently carried off to wherever their hearthstone is set. A short time later, your mount will be back in your stable where you left it. At least I think that's how they work. Note, however, that the Hearthsteed will not work with in-laws, because they will simply complain about how much of a hardship it must have been for you to go down to the pub to play cards. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgrew.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!